What is pi? Well, pi is the association between a diameter of a circle and a circumference. Okay, so that's understanding it. And then wisdom, you know, to use that would be, for an example, if I had an 8-inch pipe and I wanted to wrap some insulation around it, you know, and to figure out how much insulation I'd need, well, you just take the diameter times pi, and comes out to be about 25 inches. So I need about 25 inches of insulation to wrap that pipe. So that's wisdom, okay? That's one example. Now, one in the Bible, which is going to be a lot better one, is with Joseph when he stood before Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh had these dreams, okay? He had the dreams about the fat kine, and there were seven fat kine, and then there were seven scrawny, ill-favored kine that came up and ate those seven fat ones. And then he woke up and he had another dream, and there was seven fat ears of corn on a stalk, and then there came up seven withered, dried out ears that ate up those seven fat ones, and he didn't understand his dream, and so he ends up calling for Joseph to come and interpret this dream. So he tells Joseph the dream, so there's knowledge. Joseph hears the dream and he knows the dream. That's knowledge. But then he gives a revelation from God, and I'm going to use that as the understanding here. He understands that those two dreams are telling him the same thing. God's showing him there's going to be 7 years of plenty and that there's going to be 7 years of famine. That those dreams mean the same thing. So there's understanding. And then wisdom, Joseph says, now what you should do is get a wise man, put him over the land that he can gather up all the food in those 7 good years and lay it up in store for the 7 bad years. There's wisdom. And then Pharaoh said, well, who's as wise as Joseph? And he had Joseph to do it. So there's a couple examples of the difference between knowledge and understanding and wisdom. So now, let's turn over to Exodus 31. Hope I haven't lost you yet. Just getting started here. We're going to start in Exodus 31, verse 1. And our pastor's been reading a couple chapters away from here about Moses, but it's, you know, this is in the same period of time with the tabernacle in the wilderness. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So here's the Lord telling Moses to build this tabernacle. And he doesn't say, just now go out and find some crafty guys and have them put this thing together. He gives these people the wisdom to do it. And all these things that they worked with, they might have had some talent before that, who knows, but to work in all these different materials and to build this thing, and God also didn't just say, put something together. He gave Moses exact instructions. He said, build it according to the pattern I've showed you. So the Lord enabled it. He gave wisdom to these men and to actually all those, as our pastor brought out when he was going through his studies on Wednesday nights, that it was the wise-hearted God chose. It wasn't those that were brainiacs and had all this knowledge in their head. It was those that had the heart for it. And that's the thing. If you have the heart for it, the Lord sees our hearts and he'll enable. You don't have to have the super intelligence to do a certain thing. The Lord will give us the wisdom and the ability to do what he wants us to do. So God gives wisdom. And if you'll turn over to Daniel chapter 2, see a good example of this, where it's another dream we're going to read about. This is when God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So God gives wisdom to the wise. And Daniel even went on to say that this dream wasn't revealed to me for any wisdom I have more than anyone else. God revealed it to me. God gives us the wisdom. It's something that he'll give us. And God's a giving God. We'll read about that here in a little bit more. And I'm just going to read a couple verses in passing that we don't need to turn to. But Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy." So, and then also, if you know the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts is the word of wisdom. Okay, so God gives wisdom. Now let's turn over to James chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 5 and 7, 5 through 7. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So if you lack wisdom, you ask of God. And I want like to give a little testimony about how the Lord worked this in my life. I have a machine shop, my business, and I was for a while making these little tiny grippers for robotic surgery. And this company was having me make some prototypes, and I'd make, you know, maybe 10 or 20 at a time, and they'd test them and change designs and whatever. Came back, and they finally came with got a design that they liked, and they got FDA approval, and they came to me and says, "Okay, we're going to take off in production here. We're going to need these by the hundreds and by the thousands. And if you can do this, the job's yours. And if not, we're going to have to go somewhere else. We got to have these parts." And so I sat down with these parts, and I'm looking at them for a long time, trying to figure out how can I do this different to make these parts where they can run overnight and run longer, and I can get this job done. And I wasn't getting anywhere, and I just prayed, "Lord, if there's a way to do this, I pray you show me how to do this thing." And it was almost like right away, the Lord just said, "Well, just do this operation here and do this operation here, and you can do it." And it was just amazing. I mean, I think I jumped for joy. And it still impresses me so to this day how the Lord just came in and just showed me by just changing some things around real simply that I could do this. And I was able to set these things up, run them all day and all through the night, and keep up with the demands of this customer. It ended up being the biggest single job I've ever had in over 25 years of business. And so the Lord will do wonderful things like that. Just let him, give him a try. He will do it. And glory to God, it was all him, and it still is. So I just praise the Lord for that. I still get excited about that. And then let's turn over back to 2 Chronicles here. In chapter 1. And we're talking about now about asking for wisdom. Well, Solomon asked for that. Let's read verses 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 through 12. "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." That'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? "And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." So Solomon was the wisest man that lived. God gave him wisdom. He asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And again, I'll say God loves to give. He said, "I'll not only give you wisdom, I'll give you riches and honor and all these things." So the Lord loves to bless us. And then he'll keep back things from us that he knows would be detrimental to us, but he loves to give. He's not stingy. And so that's the thing. We, you know, when we have something coming up, seek the Lord for it, whatever it is, you know. If it's big or small, the Lord hears our prayers, he answers, and he gives. So Solomon went on to write in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So he knew it was important to have wisdom. And let us turn over to Job 28. Job has a little bit to say about wisdom here. Starting in verse 12, Job 28:12. And he's having his conversation with his three friends. But he says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Pretty costly, I mean pretty valuable, I should say, is what wisdom is. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So here we are. We think about the things we search for wisdom. And Job goes on to say, well, we can't find it out. We can search and search. We can't find it. It's not in the land of the living, but God knows where it's at. And what does he say? The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And that fear, we know, means reverence, to reverence the Lord, to reverence God. And that's wisdom. And in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So just to let you know, if you're going to ask the Lord for wisdom and you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're not going to go anywhere. You got to start at the beginning. You got to start at the beginning. You have to have the fear, the reverence of the Lord, to know who he is and how wonderful, awesome he is, and not to just treat him as some kind of common person or being. He's God. And when you recognize that, then you can ask him. Then you have that beginning of wisdom there. Then you can go on to have more. But you've got to start there. You've got to have that fear of the Lord in your life. And turn over to Isaiah 11. And this is a prophecy of Christ. As we think about the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So here's, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, and he had these spirits upon him, and there are seven of them, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and then the fear of the Lord. And you even read about that in Revelation 3 when he's addressing the church of Sardis. He says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. He's got this sevenfold spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, we know that, but these seven spirit that he's anointed with. So in this, as you have noticed, it's got wisdom and understanding and knowledge. All of those are part of that. But the fear of the Lord is coupled with that wisdom. Jesus had the fear of God, his Father, the reverence for God, his Father. And that's what we need in our lives, to have reverence, not to treat God lightly or to, commonly, but as he is God. And in this world, you get so full of the things of man that hit you every day, that, the influences of billboards and television and whatever, movies, and you don't really think about God, how wonderful and amazing he is. But we need to have our eyes on the Lord, not get too distracted with the things of this world. Let's turn over to Proverbs 8. And this is wisdom personified. I'm sure many of you've heard this before, but it's so wonderful to, when you can read back in the Old Testament these things, it's like Jesus speaking right to you out of the Bible from way back. Proverbs 8, starting in verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So, again, talking of the value of wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So here, again, the fear of the Lord. And, we know the Lord sees the proud afar, but it also says here he hates the pride and arrogancy. He hates that. And it's precious as the Lord humbles you, when you, the things you go through in our life, the Lord brings a humbling to you. And he's close to those. He's nigh to those that are humble, but he sees the proud afar. So going on here, verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. And we just read that back in Daniel, and Daniel said that he removeth kings and setteth up kings, okay? And he goes on in verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So here's wisdom personified. It's Jesus Christ. But the things he says, how valuable it is many times. And then to hear instruction, to watch daily at my gates. I think about as we gather here on a Wednesday or on a Sunday, and we hear the word of God. That's watching. That's looking for that. That's listening to hear, to learn the wisdom of God. And not just here, but it says daily. So in our own, we've got this Bible that, thank the Lord for this Bible. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. And what a treasure. Here's the treasure, the wisdom we get from this. And we're not just trying to get wisdom in a sense of being intelligent, but we want to know Jesus. That's the thing. Wisdom is Jesus. We want wisdom because we want to know Jesus. We want to be like him. And, the one you love the most, you want to know the most about, don't you? So going on here. So taking in the Word of God is really what that's about there. And so more just to say some verses that show that Jesus' wisdom here. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then one more, Colossians 2:3. In him, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So they're all hidden there, those treasures. And he wants us to know them. Just search them out. You know, if you knew in the natural there was a hidden treasure somewhere that you could go find, you might go look for it, you know, if you thought you could find it. But he's offering this to us. He's got the wisdom there for us, and he wants us to search it out, to go after it. So let's turn over to Romans 11. And Romans 9, 10, and 11 is talking about Israel's past, present, and future, and just how they were God's chosen people. They fell away, and the salvation was granted to the Gentiles. And in Romans 11, 33, Paul just exclaims, he comes to, after writing all this, he comes to 33 and he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And it's because, you know, the end of the verse right before that, that says that he may have mercy upon all. God had all these things happen in, through the nation of Israel, his chosen people. They fell away, but that was his way to have mercy upon all. He said, well, okay, they've turned from me. I'll set them aside for a little bit, and I'll deal with the Gentiles. And that's us. You know, praise the Lord. And so that he might have mercy upon all, it's his wisdom and knowledge. It wasn't something that surprised him and he had to come up with a new plan. It was something that he knew all the time, and is the wisdom of God is just amazing. Thank the Lord how he's gotten a hold of us through the gospel that way. And then now we're going to look at some of the comparison between man's wisdom and God's wisdom and the worldly wisdom and so forth. Turn over to James chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. This is the Bible study, if you weren't aware, reading a lot of scriptures there. Okay, 3:13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So here's a way to look at something. If you, you know, sometimes we'll hear somebody, see somebody, and we think that they're so intelligent, they're so wise. But what if they are, like, bitter against others, and they're envying, and they're, you know, does that, what kind of wisdom is it? That's man's wisdom. That's not the wisdom from God. And so we need to recognize that. And it talks about there's confusion here. And have you ever gone up to someone and asked them a question, and they gave you an answer, and you walked away more confused than when you asked them? I've had that happen. He's like, now I'm really confused. You know, the guy didn't help me at all. And that's the thing about man's wisdom. Sometimes man will, they can say a whole bunch of things and it doesn't help you out a bit. It just kind of runs you in circles. And it's because a lot of times they don't know the answer, but they want to pretend like they do. They don't want to ever admit they don't know something. So they bring you a bunch of words and leave your head spinning. But, you know, the Lord's not like that. When we look to him for wisdom, it's pure, it's peaceable and gentle, and it's easy to be entreated. It's like those cookies on a shelf. It's easy there. It's for us. And thank the Lord, again, we have the Word of God. It's something that we can stand on and know. We can search it out and find it in the Bible and the Scriptures and know that this is the Word of God, and it, what it says is true. And you don't have to doubt it. You know, you can believe it. You can put your faith in it, your confidence in it. And then it's full of mercy. Now, we've been hearing a lot about mercy from this pulpit in recent months, and we need that mercy. We want that mercy, and God loves to show mercy. But the man's wisdom isn't a merciful thing. A lot of times it's like, you know, they're proud, and they'll make things, say things like, well, I forgot more than you'll ever know. You know, things like they're just so proud and haughty. But, you know, not God. Jesus Christ, you know, he is the Word of God. He knew more than any man ever, but the lowly could come to him and not feel awkward. The sinners, they came to him, and they were attracted to him. He showed mercy to them. He showed kindness, and he was humble. He wasn't being proud of them. Now, the Pharisees and those that would try to trip him up and try to get after him and find some way that they could defeat him, he could come at them pretty harsh, and because they deserved it. But, you know, those that were humble and came to him, they didn't have to be intelligent. They didn't have to be anything. And he made them feel so welcome. They wanted to be with him. So there's a difference in the wisdom from the earth and God's wisdom. And one more here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Kind of close it out with this. I'm just going to start in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And again, that's what we started out with there in Daniel. It says that he revealeth the deep and secret things. So Daniel was saying that way long ago. But here's Paul saying it. But I want to kind of concentrate on that verse 7, because it's talking about hidden wisdom. And we know it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. So this, Paul's gospel was a hidden mystery. And it was something God didn't just do recently, but it was before the world, and it was unto what? Unto our glory. And we want to know the deep things of God, and it's like the Spirit reveals them to us. But aren't you thankful for the place we're in, that we hear the whole counsel of God? You know, we hear the deep truths. We study these mysteries. They've been revealed to us, and we lay a hold of them, and it's so wonderful. There's so many times you talk to someone, and they don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about the mysteries of the Word of God and Paul's gospel. They're like, what's that? I never heard that before. But it's right there. It's hidden, and you have to search it out. You have to want to know, but the Lord's there to reveal it to us. It's the hidden wisdom that, again, for our glory, the Lord has this for us, and I want it. I want to lay a hold of it, and I know you do too. That's why we're here on a Wednesday night. So I pray this has been an encouragement to you. I just love the Word of God and how he has so much. It's just manifold. You know, line upon line, precept upon precept, but it just, you know, that's the basics of it, but it just goes so deep. You'll never exhaust it. And thank the Lord. He gives us the mind of Christ that we can actually know these things. Praise the Lord. I hope it's been an encouragement. So let's stand and be dismissed.